Happy Friday, everybody. DGS on KMOX 305. So I've been having a lot of fun. Let's ruin the vibe. Let's talk about some politics. So last night was the big acceptance speech by Donald Trump. I've seen the highlights of it and a lot of commentary and so forth. My takeaway is that people are who they are. And while Donald Trump has been changed by the events of last Saturday, which I do believe he has, because how could you not and be a human being? So I think he has. But nature is nature. And I think he really made a misstep last night. I don't think it's going to matter. It's one of those things, like it's like batting average, Kev, that if you have 500 at bats and you strike out a couple times, it's not going to make a big difference.
No.
And he has so many at bats, I don't think this is going to make a big difference. But I think he did miss an opportunity that no one in the history of the world can go 92 minutes and hold an audience. You just can't. And his first 30 minutes were very much about what happened and the effect it had on him. If he would have gone another 15, maybe 20, did some policy, even taken a couple of swipes, fine. But I think that he didn't add anyone to the roles yesterday. His people love the red meat. They're never going to abandon him, but I don't think he brought in any independence. Is that kind of the way you view it?
I don't think that
maybe
anybody...
Maybe he's not even trying.
Well, yeah, I don't know that anybody that was... nobody against him is going to vote for him anyway, just like nobody who's against Biden is going to vote for him, right? You're not going to swing anybody like that.
I was hopeful, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I'm gettable as a Trump voter, because there's too much water under the bridge for me, but it certainly would have made me feel better about what feels like an inevitable administration had he been a little more about unity.
You know, I was thinking about it last night. The one thing that would make me think that he's changed would be acknowledging that 2020 was not stolen.
Yeah.
They have
that would be huge. So,
that's never going to
and
happen.
And again, for I understand that, but like for people that are yelling at their radios right now, his lawyers have never made the claim of fraud in court. They can't, because they don't have evidence of it. You cannot make false claims in a court, because you're going to face repercussions if you can't prove what you're saying. So if you're not able to make that case in court this many years later, and if they don't, I mean, if you're Donald Trump and your lawyers have shown you there's evidence, and let's say it keeps getting thrown out of court, do you not just throw it on television right then and there?
Sure.
Do you not just present it everywhere you can? And I'm not talking about telling stories of, you know, people have heard or said that this has happened. No, I mean, like evidence that stands up in a court. It's never been presented. Rudy Giuliani, on the record in court representing the campaign, told a judge this is not a fraud claim.
Getting a bigger tent, to me, is like getting a bigger radio show audience. And I got some great advice years and years and years ago from my friend Rick Bayless, who is the program director back then. And he said, because I used to be, for people who've been with me for 24 years now, you know this, and even on 97.1, but I used to be much, much dirtier and edgier and, you know, bathroom humor, and by probably 50%. And they fought me on it, and they fought me on it, and I was very much like, I'm an artist, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And Rick said, look, the people who love you are not going to miss it if you're 50% less dirty. They like you,
right?
And they think you're funny,
right?
And they like the dirty, but they don't need it to keep listening.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a group of people out there who like you, but you're just too dirty, and maybe the kids are in the car, and they're not going to listen to you. But the zero sum of this is you're going to have a smaller audience.
I guess I disagree with you guys, because I watched the whole speech. I was falling asleep towards the end because it went on for a very long time, and he did start to lose the thread that I think he was going for initially. But I don't think most people watched the whole thing. I think most people watched the highlights, and maybe you just sat through the first 20 minutes or so. If you are an independent voter and all you see is Donald Trump describing his experience almost being assassinated on stage, that's all you saw, I think that could have swung some people.
Mm.
I think he was vulnerable when he told that story. I think that's the most human I've ever seen him. The most, just like kind of laying it bare. He even said, like, this will be the only time you hear me say this because it's painful to talk about. I mean, I think those things are very powerful. I think he picked up people last night. I do. Hmm.
I think my analogy to that was going to be that whatever you want to call it, mean rhetoric or calling people out or the fake election, all that kind of stuff, that's his dirty. And he thinks he needs to be dirty.
He doesn't.
So that his audience will stay with him the same way I thought I needed to be dirty. And I think that he would learn that his people are never going to leave and he'd bring in more people, like Rach just said.
I think that's a good point, Rach. Because I don't think that everyone sat through the whole thing and not everyone's reading transcripts or reading the breakdowns of where it went wrong.
And I mean, like, okay, speaking of the 2020 election, how much has the rhetoric died down about it being stolen? Just, you know, having conversations with people in real life, even people calling the show, we don't have people calling as much as they used to saying the election was stolen. I think it's faded for so many people. The events of January 6th either are super vivid to you or you've just kind of gone like, all right, hopefully that never happens again. I just feel like him continuing to dwell on that a little bit, most people can just brush it to the side.
I agree. But I mean, that's if I'm going to believe that anything real has changed in him, telling the truth about something important is one of those things.
But
it's not just getting something wrong or exaggerating something. You're making a claim for 4 years that has absolutely never been proven, and you've never provided evidence for it.
I think that's become a core with him, though.
Yeah, don't you think he believes it with his whole heart that the election
was
stolen?
Fine. Then I don't believe he's changed. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anybody else. I agree with both of you guys that it's not going to change. That part is not changing anybody's mind, because if you only saw 15 or 20 minutes, you probably were like, wow, he is different. His personality is different. And hopefully it will show. I would love for it to be different. That would be awesome. But a real change means understanding reality and not continuing with a fantasy.
You know, another thing I was thinking about just apropos of all this is how they keep showing the Secret Service and how bad they look, and how this kid, a 20-year-old kid with a bicycle, a ladder, and a gun, who Googled where it was going to be that day. So it's really, who knows, he could be a Russian operative, but from what we know now, it really seems like this disaffected kid, disaffected by who knows what, had pictures of lots of politicians on his phone, had looked up the Biden rallies, and found out this one was going to happen, looked it up the day of.
Close to where he lived.
Went the day of and bought the ladder. So this 20-year-old kid showed up and shot the president. Not a good day for the Secret Service. And all these videos we've seen of the female agents where people are calling them offensive names. And like the one couldn't get her gun back in the holster. And then the other one seemed to put a priority on putting the sunglasses on and straightening her blazer out. Horrible mistakes were made. And I imagine that the director is going to lose her job over it. But it brings home to me, these are just people. We assign superhero status to police officers and Navy SEALs and Secret Service and FBI agents, and well-deserved, but they're just people. And they're in a job where what they train for hasn't happened since 1981.
Yeah,
You can't tell me. I know they're trying. And I know they're trying their best every single day. And while the gunshots were still ringing out, they were running into the gunshots. Eternal respect for that.
Yeah.
But when the thing you're preparing for hasn't happened in a human lifetime, you're going to have a little rust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's fascinating because none of us, I mean, I've never done that job. I've never done anything close to that job. But I pay more attention to what people who have or what, like, some people that have served in the military are pointing out, like, that's a pretty big mistake. Not making sure that
when
roof
we
is
can
secure,
recognize it.
Right? Like that, there's a roof, a raised area right across from there, and it's not out of range. It's not, you know, half a mile away where it would take a perfect pinpoint, accurate sniper shot to do it. This was close enough where a rando almost pulled it off.
This kid should have been stopped.
Yeah,
he should have been stopped 30 minutes before. He
well, that roof shouldn't even have been accessible.
5 minutes before, he should have never been able to put a ladder against that thing.
Yeah.
It so many things like that are just less impressive than you thought they would be. I wouldn't think, because we now have video of him walking around 30 minutes before and people are pointing at him and stuff because he's being all weird and creepy. I would you have thought that you could be within 200 yards of where a president was and just walking around by yourself? I wouldn't.
No.
I would expect to be questioned.
Yeah, I don't know, because I mean, presidents have been in large spaces before and they don't cordon off the entire area. I can believe that. But I can't believe that you could get to any elevated range where you've got a clear line of sight that easily.
Yeah.
Again, full respect to everybody that does the job. I'm not second guessing them. I'm just going by what we all see.
321 DGS. So I know things can just be happenstance and you can make a connection where you shouldn't. But earlier in the show, Andrew was talking about how his wife murdered a possum and... Guess what I just had on my TikTok? Possums.
What?
Possum violence?
Come on.
Possums.
No, they weren't violent, but it was cute.
Yeah, little cuties.
Aw.
But that's crazy.
It's because it hears you.
I know. That's
like it's like a proven thing. Like it hears
it really
us,
is.
It hears us saying the word possum 15 times, and your phone is like, let's get this guy some possum content. He loves possums. Won't shut up about him.
It's sort of an analogy to people who believe in manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you do whatever you think about, that's what you're going to attract from the universe. This is like a real world human engineered version of manifesting.
100%.
Just talk about something enough and you're going to see it on your device.
It's or if you I mean, God forbid you try to Google, you know, I need new socks or whatever. And then all you're going to get is sock ads on your TikTok for 2 weeks.
I get all that. But I don't get the thing on like where TikTok shows me things I've been talking about like that. I wonder if it's a settings thing.
It's not really a. It's just that you're like this is a known thing. They've admitted to it. It's been very much an open thing that your phone basically hears everything that's going on. So it hears what you are saying, and it uses
I guess your
that
Amazon
too.
Device as well and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Presumably, yeah. So I mean, all of that stuff. I mean, you know, it, to have something like a cell phone or a Amazon, you know, smart device or whatever, you're basically consenting. Like if you have a Nest cameras and Ring cameras and stuff. That's just they have all that footage. That footage isn't just
also,
turn and burn.
It's the concept
all on a
of
server.
Something affects me or it doesn't. Today we had the biggest technical meltdown we've had in years and years and years with CrowdStrike, but it didn't affect me.
Right.
And so it's not a thing. I'm going to go home tonight, and so long as my television's on and my phone's working, I'm going to be fine. But there are people out there stuck at airports and people whose business went down. And I mean, it's human nature, but there's so much of just like, well, that wasn't that bad. The CrowdStrike thing, that didn't suck too
bad. Yeah, like, what are you talking about? That was nothing.
Yeah.
My tech stuff's all working. It's showing me possum videos.
Showing me possums. They were cute, too. Be ashamed to kill one of those. Stairway to Kevin?
Sure. We'll just build off of that because I had tech rage yesterday, not related to CrowdStrike, but like Xbox Live was down and it was down like all day. And if you go on Twitter or whatever, you can see everybody's just mad like, oh, man, I just got home from working all day and all I wanted to do was play college football or some people using that like I do, too, to stream a service, right? That you can use Netflix on your systems. You can use the MLB app, whatever. I mean, you can stream through that, too. And there are people like, I can't even watch TV because Xbox Live is down. And that combined with, obviously, the CrowdStrike thing that came today, we're really, like, on the edge of not having stuff that we're used to, right? You think about, like, when you lose power for a few days or you lose internet for a couple of hours, it's the worst. I was legit angry last night that my stupid Xbox would not sign in so I could play MLB The Show or whatever else because it has to verify that you own the game. That's why you have to have the connection. If you have the hard copy, you can still do that, but I don't have the hard copy. And I don't know if it's scary or annoying or all of the above that one small thing going wrong changes everything about maybe in this case just your day, but could change your entire life.
Would you say we're more technologically fragile than we've ever been?
I don't know. We're so reliant on it that anything going wrong. I mean, think about how many airports got jacked up today from one company having a problem. Maybe we shouldn't be reliant on one or two or three companies for as much as we are. And we are all very reliant on internet service. If your internet service goes down for a month, what are you, what's your life like? Because it ain't very good for what we're all used to.
No.
Most people would not have TV service. You know, I shouldn't say most, but a lot, right? Not everybody, fewer people than ever have cable and satellite. You don't have that. You don't have your access to emails. You know, a lot of times, you know, if you don't have that, you don't have access to like some features on your cell phone.
Yeah. It's so funny. I know we're all egocentric little skin bags, but my career going from 2000 to 2024 has spanned such an interesting time.
Yeah.
Pre-9/11 to post-9/11. Pre-Obama and Trump to post-Obama and Trump. And when I used to prep for the show, the internet was a thing, but it wasn't a thing like right. It is now. I used to take the USA Today and read it and mark it up and cut out articles like I was in eighth grade doing a book report.
Yeah.
And that was the show prep for the DGS when the show first started.
Yeah. I mean, I remember like the time before, you know, we still had video game systems before they were connected to Xbox Live or whatever. You still had all of that. But you were more reliant on hard copies. And I think about with movies. How many movies do you guys own compared to what you used to? Like, Rach and Andrew, do you guys own movies?
Man.
Like, hard copies, I mean.
If I do, they're stuck somewhere that I'm never going to find them.
I might have, like, some. 3 or 4 DVD or Blu-rays somewhere, right. But...
I mean, I have a ton because we've collected them over the years, and I still like hard copies for things that I consider my favorites. And maybe it's this reason. Like, I'm an entertainment prepper. Because if it ever goes down, I thought about it last night. I'm like, well, at least I got my Blu-rays because I could watch that if I'm totally bored. I'm not going to read or anything.
I'm such a Luddite. I don't know anything. When I was driving back, Nick, you know, who's my best friend in the world, he's like, hey, how's the drive? I'm like, you know, it's kind of like driving by yourself because the girls are sleeping. He's like, you should just download a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I will. I have no idea how to download stuff. World. 334 in DGS. Dave Murray will be back with us next week. He had a big golf tournament this week with his pals, his real friends.
Right.
Yeah, we
never get invited to go to golf tournaments.
I've
Dave
never
Murray.
Been in a hot tub with him.
Right.
Yeah, like the famous guy.
Yeah.
Who was that? Again,
was the
guy from
Mad
Men.
Gray-haired guy from Mad Men.
Yeah, he seems cool.
He does seem cool. That's why Dave Murray gets in the hot tub with him.
Do you think Dave just seems famous? And that's how he could walk up and talk to that guy?
I think people know who Dave Murray is.
I don't think the guy from Mad Men knows who Dave Murray is.
He might have watched Good Morning America.
Yeah, he's old. Anyway, let's get a live look.
Okay.
A truly amazing afternoon of weather across St. Louis, and this great stretch is going to continue really right through the weekend. Just delightful, high pressure in control, but we're still primarily on the cool side of that high. So it's a north to northwest flow. And in the summertime, we will take that with below average temperatures, really day and night, and great humidity levels. So tonight, no weather concerns at all. 70s for evening plans, 62 for the overnight low on Saturday. Sunny skies, great morning, really a great afternoon. Still comfortable humidity, 84 for the high. A lot of clouds around on Saturday night, but no rain. It looks like a dry situation. 65 degrees Sunday. Going to stay with partly sunny skies. So expect a few more clouds around on Sunday compared to Saturday and a high of 83 degrees. We're going to get back into a bit of an unsettled weather pattern late Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. But these are not widespread thunderstorm outbreaks. Think of it more as a hit and miss type pattern, and temperatures in the 80s. So again, we just can't complain about that. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk with you on Monday.
Headlines, Rach.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right. An online account thought to belong to the Trump shooter was fake, a source is saying. A new analysis shows an online account that was believed to have belonged to the shooter in the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump, where he had purportedly called the date of the attack his, quote, premiere, was fake, a federal law enforcement official told CBS News yesterday. There's been a lot of misinformation about that.
Yeah.
Every single story.
Evidently, this is according to the authorities, that they found things on his phone that suggested that he was also open to a mass shooting.
Oh.
Like he just had decided this was the way he was going to go out.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing? The happenstance. First of all, the complete craziness of Trump would have taken it to the eye, but he moved his head an inch and hit him in the ear, which is connected to your head, which is where your brain is, that just blows me away. But then just the fact that this kid is out there living his life, not really thinking in too much in particular about Trump, it would seem, and then finds out, oh, there's going to be a rally 50 miles from you, and then the wheels start turning, and he goes and he buys a ladder and some ammo and takes his dad's gun, and here we are. That's how close not all of us are, because not all of us are of that stature to have someone try to assassinate you to get attention, but, you know.
You know, Dave, speaking of how amazing it is that former President Trump did move his head in time and just got his ear grazed, I don't know if you guys saw last night during his speech at the RNC, he said to the crowd, "I shouldn't be here." And it was a very powerful moment because the crowd started chanting back at him, "Yes, you do. Yes,
yes, you should.
Yes, you should. Yes, you should." And he was like, "Thank you, but no, I shouldn't be here."
Yeah.
I thought that was a powerful moment for sure.
Yeah.
A poll is looking at Kamala Harris, and a majority of Democrats think that she would be a good president. 6 in 10 Democrats believe Kamala would do a good job in the top slot as president of the United States. 2 in 10 don't believe she would, and another 2 in 10 say they don't know.
I'm starting to get really angry about this. It is a disservice to our country. So I understand the players. I understand where this is with Joe Biden. I understand why people want him to step aside. I understand why he doesn't want to. But for the love of God, crap or get off the pot. And so far, like on Drudge, there's a red headline, which typically means it's important, saying that the family, the Biden family, has begun discussing how and when he will get out. And then the same day, the White House says it's absolutely not true. He's not getting out. This is bad for the country.
Well,
so either accept that he's going to be the nominee, and Biden, you go and you run and you do your best and you're going to lose. But if you win, you somehow be a capable president, or make that change and make it and let's go. But I think this is just bad.
I agree that it's bad. Trying to watch the RNC last night, Trump's about to speak, right? It's a huge moment. It's a big moment in American history. He was just almost assassinated on Saturday night. This is going to be his first big public speech. Instead of talking about it, CNN was sitting around talking about how, oh, another senator has come out and said that Biden needs to step down. They spent so much time talking about it that one of the Republicans on the panel was like, can we please get back to talking about the RNC? Like, I'm having a good time at the RNC and I want to talk about this. It just drives me crazy. The fact that the media, what am I trying to say? The media is pushing this narrative, it seems, more than people in politics actually are. It's like we get a little piece of it and it's like, well, surely he's going to step down right now. And then it doesn't happen. Mm. And then it continues to not happen. And it's just making everyone look foolish at this point.
And to your point, everyone, if this were 30 years ago, most of us wouldn't even know about it. Because most of us would be watching the nightly news. They might say one thing about it. Joe Biden had a bad debate and some people are calling for him to step down and now to the sports. But now we're all engaged.
Mm-hmm.
There definitely seems to be a vibe. I don't know how accurate these people are, but there definitely seems to be a vibe amongst the observers of the Democratic Party that essentially now that Pelosi's getting publicly involved, it'll happen. Mm. Like if it's to that point, it's going to happen.
I know there are a lot of reporters out there with a lot of sources and a lot of leaks, but I have to believe that Pelosi and Obama and Schumer and Jeffries wanted it to leak.
I can't imagine if they were just going to keep it private and just talk to Biden themselves, that would necessarily be going this way.
Mm-hmm. Hunter Biden is seeking dismissal on the same grounds as the Trump documents case. He has submitted dismissal requests in Delaware and California, citing this week's decision by U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon, which ruled that the appointment of Special Prosecutor Jack Smith was unconstitutional. Attorneys for Hunter claim the same logic should apply to his upcoming tax case in L.A. and his felony firearm conviction last month.
It's not going to work for him because I do believe this is bad law just based on the fact that it is so settled in every jurisdiction. No one's ever held this but Eileen Cannon, and I think she will be overturned on appeal. I don't think it'll matter because I think Trump's going to win the election and he'll dissolve all of these investigations and lawsuits, but I don't think it's going to help Hunter because I don't think that law is going to stand up.
Hunter's trying to go by the, well, he got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Something tells me that's a lot of Hunter's life. I'm just saying.
It's also kind of his attitude. It's also a lot of the law. If you think about it, that's kind of what the law is based on is, well, they decided this. And so if that's the deal, then that applies to me, too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Universal Orlando is offering an unlimited visit deal to Florida residents. You can get a ticket for $199 plus tax to enter the park as often as the ticket holder would like. Man. What would be your guys' dream scenario? You pay $200 and you get to go as much as you want.
Epcot.
Cedar Point. Best roller coaster park in the United States.
You got one, Andrew? Disney?
Yeah, probably Disney. They're just different down there.
Magic Kingdom or one of the other ones?
All of them. The roller coasters are just different. There's something about them. They're very smooth. The theming kind of takes away a lot of any of the nerves or fear you might have. Mm. Highly recommend
it. It's like nothing bad's going to happen. Mickey Mouse is here.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Exactly.
It's the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster.
Meanwhile, I want the give me the craziest, wildest, fastest thing you can find.
And I just want to walk around Epcot and eat and drink.
Yeah, Epcot's,
that sounds good.
Epcot's underrated. When you're a kid, it kind of sucks. But when you're an adult, it's pretty awesome.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
So speaking of drinking, Bud Light has slipped again, falling behind Modelo and Michelob Ultra after their boycott, which started last year.
Amazing.
Are they different companies? Back.
Mick Ultra's not.
Yeah,
I think Modelo
really
might even
wheels.
Be under. I could be wrong.
Yeah, not sure. Sorry. A stegosaurus fossil known as Apex has sold for a record $44.6 million. It was a 150-million-year-old stegosaurus fossil, billed as one of the finest and most complete dinosaur skeletons ever discovered, and it just went for $44.6 million.
If you're a billionaire, $44 million is nothing to you. You're going to make that or lose that in an afternoon of trading. Would you buy something like that?
This might be the kind of stuff I would buy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty... How can you really put a price on that at the end of the day? That'd be cool to have in my ballroom.
If I had, Elon money, you'd never hear stories like every story like this would be like, oh, Andrew just bought...
Yeah, you'd buy everything.
Every time, like a Star Wars prop went up on an auction or whatever, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, Andrew just bought that. Bid 10 times more than anybody else was willing to.
So the American Council of Trustees and Alumni did a poll recently that shows that college students know shockingly little about the U.S. government. The pollsters found that 60% of college students were unable to say how long terms were for a member of the United States Senate or House of Representatives. Another 73% didn't know that the vice president serves as the president of the Senate. 28% of them thought that it was Joe Biden who served as the president of the Senate. Only 35% of college students were aware that Mike Johnson was the Speaker of the House. Do you guys think that's strange? I mean,
I probably wouldn't have known that in college who the Speaker of the House was.
That one is a little obscure. But I think I would have remembered from, government class that the vice president is.
I don't think
we
have government classes anymore.
I think I don't know that it's the same everywhere, but I know that there are a lot of complaints that civics isn't being taught.
Mm. I remember having an actual class called civics and having to learn the Constitution and I think, memorize the preamble and all this kind of stuff and know what the pecking order is. And
if I recall, in Illinois in public high school, I believe we had to take a class, but only so that there was like a standardized test that you had to pass.
About the Constitution?
It was like a governmental.
We had to take that in private school, too. Mm. All right, two high-profile deaths that I don't think we talked about on the show yesterday. I think we talked about it on the breaks. But Lou Dobbs, a conservative political commentator, died at 78 years old. And Bob Newhart, a legendary comedian, is dead at 94.
Newhart hurts.
Yeah.
He was my dad's favorite, and he looked like my dad, and really informed a lot of my early humor because my dad would listen to his comedy album. Many heralded as the greatest comedy album of all time. So subtle, so smart, so intelligent. So, yeah, RIP. 352 DGS. So we have a new kind of anxiety on the show.
Yeah. I think I'm doing a good job. At D&D, not just in general.
I was going to say. You made it sound like I was just trashing you. We have a new Andrew anxiety because he sucks at his job.
By the way, Andrew, you're fired.
So, why don't you tell us?
doing my best, Dave.
Tell us what it's like to suck.
Andrew is now a dungeon master.
Yes, I am playing D&D. Let's be clear about that.
It's Dungeons and Dragons and not like something weird.
Yes, not
an S&M type of.
Yeah.
They're beheading possums. So.
Yeah, who knows what's going on?
So it's some people, I don't know them super well yet, but a lot of them work with my wife, so she vouches for them. And they seem nice. They seem like good people.
And you're doing it tonight?
Yeah, we're doing it tonight.
Okay. So I picture it being very cauldrons and like once upon a time. Do you do it like dramatically?
I try to, but you know, I mean, it can be kind of hard to do. And everybody's
if you're
having,
in a conference room, right?
Everybody's having a different like opinion on how things should go, which is probably my fault because I need to have the master. Yeah, I need
take
to have
control,
better
buddy.
Control of that situation where some people are like, this needs to be a drama. Some people are like,
start out telling the story about the possum.
Yeah, I'll tell them that and I'll be like, so unrelated, you know, but now let's get into the game. Why don't you do what I say? We're going to try to do it upstairs here, I was telling you guys.
Very Hogwarts.
But because it's beautiful up there. It's really nice. But I was informed by one of our coworkers that someone who lives in this building might be invited them to like a party that might be up there tonight. So I don't know. It might be a little awkward trying to.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try it though. We're still gonna try it. We'll see. But it's hard because you have to like make sure you're describing everything because it's all in your imagination.
Sure.
So you have to try to describe everything properly, and if you don't describe it well, then they have no idea what's going on, and they're never gonna like solve whatever puzzles or whatever.
So you can do a game in a night.
This is a campaign, which is sort of a very, it would take a very, very long time. This could be, 40, 50 hours we're doing this.
Mm.
So you play a few hours when you get a chance to and when it works for everybody's schedules. And then you find
it. Have you done this, Wheels?
Yeah,
I haven't done it as an adult, but we played in like junior high. No. I'm not judging.
Brutal.
Not judging at all because I play video games, which is just an electric version of this. Now, my kid does it. They actually play they'll do like a Zoom call. They play online together from all over the country.
That's fun.
And they'll run a campaign and all that.